Welcome to the Rebuilt Parish Podcast, where we equip pastors, parish leaders, and anyone who just loves their parish. We share tried and true, universally implementable strategies to help your parish reach the lost, encourage parishioners to grow deeper in their faith, deliver an excellent weekend experience, and grow layers of leaders. We'll help you rebuild your local Catholic Church. This is the Rebuilt Parish Podcast. Hello, and welcome to our first episode of our Rebuilt Parish Podcast reboot. I'm your host, Melissa Wilkinson, and I'm so grateful that you're here with us today. As we kick off this new version of our podcast, I'm excited for you to hear from the co-founders of Rebuilt Parish, Father Michael White and Tom Corcoran. Father Michael and Tom have worked together at the Church of the Nativity in Timonium, Maryland for 20 years. During their time together, through research, trial and error, education, and experimenting, they managed to rebuild their parish from one that was in the decline to the thriving parish it is today. From their learnings, they wrote their best-selling book, Rebuilt: Awakening the Faithful, Reaching the Lost, and Making Church Matter. While Rebuilt Parish began as a ministry of the Church of the Nativity, it has turned into a global movement. Hi, Father Michael and Tom. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Melissa. Thank you.
Well, Father Michael, this first question is for you. Can you take us back to the early days at Church of the Nativity? We want to know, what were some of the challenges you faced that ultimately led to the first book and the birth of the Rebuilt Parish movement?
Well, if you really want to go there, Melissa,
I'm not sure you do,
but it was difficult and challenging stepping into the situation. As regards the culture of the parish, it was very much about efficiency. My predecessor, God bless him, was German, and he cut his teeth as a parish priest in the baby booming 1950s. The parish that he had served at had two masses every hour on the hour on Sunday mornings. And it was really about efficiency. It was about getting people in and getting them out. And that was the approach that he brought to Nativity. And it was about as far from hospitable as you could possibly get. It was very efficient, but it was not at all hospitable.
So it sounds like that hospitality then was a big piece that led to you wanting to make some changes.
Well, I think that we found that people were coming and going, and there was never any difference after than before. Despite the, you know, attendance at Mass, the reception of Holy Communion, it just didn't seem like anybody was really moving or growing as a disciple. It didn't seem as if the parish was really cohesive as a community of faith. And those were deeply frustrating discoveries for us, even before we could articulate them. Implicitly, we knew we wanted more. I remember somebody bringing me a magazine article from the Atlantic magazine detailing the experience of attending a church outside of Chicago, which was Willow Creek Church in Chicago, one of the earlier mega churches. And I read the article with interest, and it described, the writer described arriving in the church and coming across a cafe that was serving coffee drinks. And I just put the magazine down and said, these people know something that I don't know about doing church, and I've got to learn. Mm.
I love that. I've never heard that story before. And that just explains your passion around this so much. Now, you've talked a little bit about what the parish itself was like, what that experience was like for parishioners coming in, how it was all about that efficiency. Tell us a little bit about what that staff was like.
Well, The staff was very small at the time, and they actually didn't work weekends. There was a DRE, a director of religious education. There was a youth minister. There was a finance guy. There were a couple of secretaries. There was a maintenance guy. I think there was a music person. The music person was the only person who worked weekends along with me and Tom.
And I think our listeners might find that that's pretty typical in the Catholic Church. The staff hasn't been, at least until Rebuilt has come about, the regular staff hasn't been working the weekends. At least I know in my parish that was the case until we started coaching with Rebuilt.
Right. And every place we go, we learn the same story, that the staff doesn't work weekends. And it doesn't make any sense. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. I mean, we were a two-man show on the weekends here, whether it came to maintenance or problems out in the parking lot or complaints or requests. It was on us, besides the fact that, you know, I had to say Mass and preach too, and Tom had to run a youth program.
That's a lot for just two people. Well, Tom, I've got a question for you. So we've heard a little bit about this background and what things were like, and it certainly sounds like they weren't easy. And from reading the book and from talking to you, I know that it wasn't. But what was the catalyst that prompted you to start implementing some of these changes at Church of the Nativity? Was there a particular moment or realization that sparked this vision for renewal?
Yeah. So, I mean, one other thing I would add to the parish, as Father Michael described it too, as said before, is a sleepy parish. It was efficient, but not a lot going on. A kind of sleepy staff as well. So, you know, when we came in, we thought we needed to energize things. And that meant just doing a bunch of stuff. And I started out in youth ministry. So I did a whole bunch of things, from crab feast to middle school lock-ins, ski trips, ultimate frisbee. I mean, just anything I could possibly do to just get things moving. And we did some other things again in the parish, a lot of activity. And I think we both had our own realization that activity for activity's sake is not why the church exists. And so, and this is in the book, especially Father Michael's experience in Rebuilt, but my own personal experience was being very busy, and I liked it. I mean, I did like all I was doing, but I still had this kind of nagging question, why am I doing what I'm doing, or needing a sort of strategy? And I'm definitely, you know, maybe this makes sense as a writer. I've always been influenced by books a lot. I like, you know, and there's different books in my life that I can kind of point to that maybe changed my thoughts or changed my trajectory. And one of the books I read was Purpose Driven Youth Ministry by Doug Fields. Somebody recommended it to me. I read it, and just all of a sudden I read about the purposes and having a strategy to your ministry. And I thought, oh my God, you know, one, being clear about your purpose. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not clear about my purpose. Number two, I definitely don't have a strategy for living out our purpose. And that's what purpose-driven youth ministry gave to me, was that sort of aha, things have to change, and give me a framework. And that's what we hope to do with Rebuilt, right? We hope it's a framework that begins to help you bring clarity and make decisions easier for you. That's what it did for purpose-driven youth ministry did for me. I think the other, you know, Father Michael talks about in the book, that Family Friendly Friday, which was the, you know, the people complaining about the free food and like, okay, nothing's different after than before, and something had to change. So sort of that, again, I've heard you called your Popeye moment. It's all I can stand. I can't stand no more. We have to get a better handle on why we're doing what we're doing. And that kind of led to our journey.
Well, I think that what feels like it's full circle for me in hearing you say that, Tom, is that this book was a catalyst for you to make some changes, not only in youth ministry, but in your parish having a purpose. And when I look back and I look at all of the parishes around the world who've read Rebuilt and who have started implementing just this framework that you're talking about, what a massive change that you've helped to make just because of this one book that helped to be a catalyst for you. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, it's funny. At times, the person who wrote that, I'll say, look, you started some of the stuff that happened in our parish, or reached out to some people that helped us, be like, hey, look, you've set us on a new trajectory. Thank you. And yeah, we hope to do that for other parishes.
Absolutely. And I can tell you from my parish, when my parish read the book in 2017, and just from the changes we were able to make from reading the book and then from coaching with Rebuilt and attending the free workshops and listening to the former podcast, I mean, the growth that was able to happen. And that's just one parish. And I know that you've helped thousands of parishes across the world just with the book alone. So I'm excited to see what more we've got in store with Rebuilt.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Well, of course. I mean, I've told you before, you've made a tremendous impact on this parish. And I love that we get to talk with these other parishes that are in coaching. And I love hearing the success stories. And I can't even imagine how many more success stories are out there that we don't even know about. So if someone out there is listening and has a success story, please feel free to share that with us. You can just email me, melissa@rebuiltparish.com. I would love to hear those. Well, this is a question that either one of you could answer. How did the initial changes you made in your parish evolve into the broader vision of Rebuilt Parish? What, maybe you could share some of those specific strategies or approaches that you found effective in revitalizing your parish community?
Go ahead. You want me to go?
Were you gonna say small groups?
Well, I was going to just start with, I mean, I think the origin of Rebuilt Parish really was just writing the book. And I don't think we really had any plan outside of that. We would write a book and then that was it. There wasn't really a plan after that, or strategic plan. I remember after the book was written, somebody did come down and we hadn't done coaching or anything at point. He's like, well, how many people are in your network or parishes in your network? I said, none. We don't have a network. We wrote a book. That's what we knew to do. We were both writers and wanted to write. So, that kind of grew out of the parish stuff kind of grew as a realization that we needed to do more to help parishes and we wanted to know what was going on.
I think that one of the real contributions of Rebuilt is that it really kicked off a whole season of parish renewal. There wasn't a lot of that going on. There wasn't a lot of talk about that going on at the time. And I think Rebuilt really just blew the lid off the dirty little secret that parishes across the country were in desperate need of renewal. And all of a sudden, Rebuilt was a phenomenon. And we had people showing up at Mass on Sunday, driving down from Pennsylvania or up from Virginia, people knocking on the back doors, you know, at random times during the day and the week. People calling us and just trying to pick our brain about what we do and how we do it. It was like we just tapped in to this incredible hunger and need.
So it sounds like people were knocking at your door just because of this book, and you had no other choice but to start a ministry with it. Is that what happened?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, I think we did start, you know, teaching our staff how to respond to some of these emails. Then we start getting some speaking engagements from that. We never had thought of that as anything. So dioceses would say we're doing a day and they would call us up and ask. So some of that came out of, there was a desire from other places for more information beyond just the book. And, you know, from there, then we created some content. We thought that would be helpful, but I think what we do is a little bit different with content. So in the sense of the message series that people can become content subscribers to, or some of the small group materials, or even some of the kids and student stuff. But I think, again, as we keep evolving, we realize some people will just take things and want to run with it, but some people want a little bit more help. And that's what we're hoping to help people with at Rebuilt Parish, is people are like a little more coaching, a little bit more hands-on, so to speak. Because it is tough. Parish renewal is tough. You're going to hit obstacles. And, you know, sometimes we need people to help us through that.
Yeah, and I think that in the process, we really developed a heart for pastors and parish staffs. We know what it felt like when we discovered some of the inspiration out mm-hmm. there from evangelical churches and their pastors. And how very much like water in the desert it was. And we were happy to be able to pay that forward, or we are happy to pay that forward as we are here to assist parishes, pastors, parish staffs.
Yeah, I think that like that's such a great analogy of the water in the desert, because we would go to these church conferences and, you know, in the Catholic world, we don't really hold up the parish leaders, you know, the parish again, and we're trying to promote, be promoters of the parish. It's, you know, sometimes it's looked upon as a, you know, it's a promotion to go work at the diocese, right? But to stay in the parish, you know, or how many times, you know, got asked that question, you know, what's your real job to me? You know, what do you do? What do you, I mean, you're here, but what's your real job? I'm like, this is my real job. Like, and so it cannot feel as valued. And so hopefully we are trying to hold up the value of working in a parish, and that it is, really do believe that the parish is the hope of the church and the church is the hope of the world. And so, yeah, that's, I think it comes out of that desire to want to just be a kind of, I mean, you know, be voices for people who work in parish, that what you do is vitally important. It's interesting, you know, we were talking, Melissa, was doing some recording before today, and we just do a little donor video, and was doing a video and was just sharing a note Father Michael and I got from a gentleman who lost his son many years ago. But he talked about our parish and how, as a result of our parish and the work we've done, the environments we've created, he knows Christ. He knows the peace of Christ. It, like, nobody else can do that. There's no other organization can do that. And so the more we make parishes successful, we want parish leaders to know how important their role is and what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think back to a workshop that we just had where we featured one of our partner parish leaders, and she shared how Easter Sunday is like our Super Bowl. And on Easter Sunday, that's when we should be so welcoming. And one of her current parishioners, who's also in a small group, revealed to her just a couple of months ago that she was not involved in the parish before last Easter. She had not stepped foot in a Catholic church in years, came on Easter Sunday just to try to come back to Mass, felt so welcomed and felt so good that she ended up coming back just to see if it was just as welcoming as it was on Easter Sunday. When it was, she continued coming back, got involved in a small group, and is now involved in the parish. And when you think about now that impact on her life, that now she's surrounded by a group of believers that are with her to do life together with her, all because this one parish just took this framework and applied it. It's incredible. And if every parish could go out there and save one soul like that, think about the impact that we can make on the world.
Yeah, it's good. Well put, Melissa.
Well, I have just another question for you around kind of how things formed a little bit. So you started getting these speaking engagements and you were helping some parishes with some content. What were some of those other key milestones? I think were there some conferences in there? What did that look like for you?
Is your parish welcoming to outsiders? Are your pews full at every Mass? Do the homilies speak into people's lives? Is your music stirring? Are your kids' programs exceptional? Imagine this. Our Rebuilt subject matter experts visiting your parish over the weekend. They're not just there to observe, but to engage, to encourage, and empower. A Rebuilt weekend observation is a unique opportunity for your parish to receive personalized feedback, practical insights, and tailored action plans from the very best in parish renewal. Whether you're just starting your renewal journey or looking to take it to the next level, our experts are here to help. They're dedicated to helping parishes like yours thrive. During weekend observations, they'll be there to listen, learn, and lend a helping hand. Our experts have years of experience in transforming parish communities together. We'll work side by side with your leadership team, your staff, and parishioners to ignite the flame of renewal in your community. So, if you're ready to breathe new life into your parish, if you're ready to see real, tangible change, then weekend observations are for you. Book your weekend observation discovery call at rebuiltparish.com/observation. That's rebuiltparish.com/observation. We can't wait to spend the weekend with you.
As far as with launching of Rebuilt or with just our
with launching of Rebuilt.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we did do the conferences. We started in 2013, again, right after the book was out. We did one kind of every other year after that. And so that was a huge thing. And we heard from many parishes. That's how they've gotten more involved with what we're doing and have bought in. So the conferences were huge. And then, COVID was actually a huge help to us. You know, we started knowing we need to get into coaching. And so we started looking at that, and then COVID hit, and we were starting to like kind of experiment that a little bit. And COVID was actually a help to Rebuilt, because now it put us in touch with all these parishes, right? You were one of the parishes, Melissa, you know, in the sense of before you felt that distance, right? Before the Zoom culture, so to speak, or the Zoom world came in. But once you now can talk to a parish over the screen, like we're talking now, and that becomes a more normal, it really opened us up to all these different relationships. So that was kind of the next, I think, huge mile marker. And, you know, then since then we have started its own separate organization, you know, that kind of, that was kind of like, I think the first domino that fell was COVID actually. And then we started its own separate organization. That's still a ministry of Nativity, but its own corporation.
Rebuilt is a major ministry of the parish Nativity, and Nativity is the platform from which Rebuilt operates. Rebuilt is unique among parish renewal groups and organizations and efforts in that it's parish-based. And everything that we're talking about in coaching, everything we're generating in content is coming out of our current experience, our current lived experience. And I just want to underscore the importance of the COVID experience in the evolution of Rebuilt, because COVID changed everything. It accelerated the decline and some of the other negative patterns that we've been experiencing for 10, 20, 30 years in the American Catholic Church. And COVID, the last 4 years, has put the church in a completely different situation than it was before. And really, whatever you thought you knew about parish renewal needs to be rethought and reevaluated in light of what's happened. So that very much motivates us these days.
Well, and what's great is that the help that you turn around and give to other parishes is that not just lived experience, but recently lived experience too. I remember going through COVID and being a part of the webinars that you had back then, and it was all of you learning what was going on, and you'd turn around the next week and share it with the rest of us who were eager and hungry to learn how we can get through this and help our parishioners reconnect with their Catholic faith through all of it. So, and earlier today, I was in a meeting where Nativity and Rebuilt were compared to, you know, how there's teaching hospitals. Well, Nativity, really, if you think about it, it's a teaching parish. It's teaching these other parishes how they can make disciples within their own parishes.
Yeah, that's an analogy Father Michael's used many times, yeah, about being a teaching hospital, a teaching parish. And it's funny, teaching church, when I had early folders of trying to figure out what we were trying to do, I called it teaching church before it was called Rebuilt. Yeah.
So good. Well, you've talked about how this is an active ministry within Church of the Nativity. What inspired you to formalize Rebuilt, as now we're a 501c3 nonprofit, which is very exciting. So what maybe inspired that, and how is this new structure helping us to better support other parishes seeking renewal?
Well, I think we just wanted to bring greater clarity to the relationship greater simplicity to the finances.
Yeah, it's a long conversation we had for many years. We'd kind of like get up to the plate and then like, nah, it's not time yet. But then, yeah, it just became clear that, again, there'll always be this kind of relationship. But Rebuilt too is, again, Melissa, you're on the team, but you're not on the staff at Nativity. You're in New York, and we have Scott who's in Cleveland, and David on our team is from California. So it's a very different in that sense. It's just a very different enterprise, right? In order to become Nativity is a local parish, and we do have worldwide reach and internet now and online and all those kind of things. But at the heart, we are Timon. It's 21093, and that's our mission field in the first place. Whereas Rebuilt, we are trying to help with parishes across the country, and that means we have to have kind of that national thinking, and it's just some different things and different kind of mindsets at times. And so, yeah, just to let Rebuilt kind of grow and kind of had that room to breathe in those ways it needed to. So, and as Father Michael said, the financial kind of part of it and structure and all that kind of thing that Rebuilt needed, again, to grow. So it was a long conversation, but eventually, you know, it was clear God was leading us in that way.
Amazing. Well, I'd love to know, so when you look at all of these parishes that you've impacted, across, not just across the country, but across the world too, can you think of maybe what's one of your favorite success stories from a parish or even a parish leader that you've helped?
That's a good one.
Good question.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about, I think, Analia, I think is who you're talking about. That's a great one. It's great to just see different leaders stepping up and seeing things work. So I think that's helpful. I recently got to go to California, and it was one of our parishes outside San Francisco, and it was fun to see them doing Rebuilt Faith, and but not just, you know, doing it, but seeing it tracking with their members of their parish and people saying this book is a good book. But it's, again, we wrote the book for people's personal faith, but we also wrote the book to help the corporate faith of the whole parish so that it makes the pastor's job easier, that when he's talking about some of these principles we talk about, no longer is he starting from scratch, or, you know, it's people already have kind of that idea. They've read the book, they've had some small group conversations, and it's going to help pastors go further faster. So I got to see that recently kind of in action, both in California and also in Tiburon, St. Hilary's, and at St. John the Apostle, where Analia is as well. So that was pretty cool to get to see that forming, and we're hoping to replicate that in hundreds of parishes in our country.
It's so cool to hear what that success can look like when parishes take a look at where they're at versus where Nativity is at. They can really feel like they're standing in the gap, like, oh my gosh, they are 20 years in on this. There is no way I could get to where they are right now. But when parishes take a look at where a parish like St. Hilary or St. John the Apostle, where they are, they're 4 years in to this coaching experience. And so that's amazing, because they can then see how these other parishes applied that framework and these strategies that you're sharing all from their coaching, and they can look to these other parishes for inspiration. So this impact is tremendous.
I think that one of the common experiences of contemplating a program of parish renewal or undertaking a program of parish renewal is the comparison trap, where we look at other parishes, big parishes, successful parishes, parishes that are further along on the road of renewal, and say, and consider what we don't have and what we can't do and what's beyond our reach, instead of looking for the transferable principles, the attainable principles, the principles and procedures and programs that really can happen at your parish.
That's such a great point. We often fall into that comparison trap, and it's so helpful to see that these principles aren't just applicable at Nativity, but they're applicable across the world, and that's so impactful. Now, I have another question for you based off of the book. So you've written a number of books, which I enjoy them all, and I'm currently rereading Rebuilt Faith, but I would love for you to just share maybe a little bit about the first book and then a little bit about Rebuilt Faith, so that we can, our listeners can hear what this new book is all about and how it differs from the original Rebuilt book.
Yeah, the first book is kind of written more at the corporate or the leadership end, in the sense of, now a lot of people bought it because I think a lot of people cared about their parish, but sort of at the idea of the blueprint of how to change parish and what's kind of behind our model and what we're talking about. Whereas Rebuilt Faith is very personal faith, or more personal for the individual, although again, we do hope it's going to impact the corporate, but it's meant to be, you know, obviously about building up people's personal faith and those, especially those steps of discipleship that we talk about. So, you know, Rebuilt's like the whole, again, the whole church macro plan, whereas the Rebuilt Faith is about helping people in their personal path of discipleship and giving those them those key steps.
Father Michael, what can you share with us about Rebuilt Faith, and maybe share also what the subtitle of the book is as well?
Well, the subtitle is a little bit of controversy, I guess. I'm not sure we even totally agree on the subtitle. But as Tom said, Rebuilt Faith is about renewal individually in our Catholic faith. And we break it up into 40 days or 40 small chapters so that you can undertake it over a period, such as Lent that we're currently in, or Easter or Advent, and just take 40 days to apply some new practices and new habits. It's usually understood that about 40 days is the right time to adapt and incorporate new habits. The subtitle is A Handbook for Skeptical Catholics. And we struggled with that for a while because, well, did we really want to call people skeptics, or did people want to identify themselves as skeptics? But I'm convinced it's the right subtitle because we're all skeptics. If you remember in the gospel story of the resurrection, the scripture tells us that the apostles saw the resurrected Jesus, but they doubted. They saw, but they doubted. If in the presence of the resurrected Lord, the apostles themselves were skeptical, then I think we can acknowledge that we all are. When it comes to our faith and the practice of our faith, we can be very skeptical. So I think it applies to all of us. And we want to move beyond skepticism to a lived, robust, fruitful, and effective faith.
That's such a great explanation. And I think it makes us all feel a little bit better too about, well, if the apostles had a hard time and they were doubting it a little bit, that helps, you know, make it a little easier on the rest of us. How do you envision the future of Rebuilt Parish? And what are your hopes for the continued growth and the influence of the movement in the years to come?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think right now we're learning about how do we keep transforming parishes and what's our role in helping parishes grow healthy and to what God wants them to be. So right now we're learning that. What are the things that can really help a parish go further, faster? I mean, right now we have the coaching and we have courses, but we're experimenting with some other things that can really influence a parish or help a parish, again, go further, faster. You know, and obviously we want to continue to increase the impact that we're having. We want hundreds and hundreds of other parishes to feel the impact the parishes we're coaching right now have, and to see the growth and health that we experience that nativity. So, you know, that's what I hope to see is there's some parishes we can point to say, you know, they can more and more parishes can point to that say nativity came in or Rebuilt helped us in their coaching. We did the coaching and we took the ball and we ran with it. And now we're seeing growth and health as a result. So that's sort of the hope. Just keep doing what we're doing and do it better.
So good. Father Michael, any thoughts on that?
Well, I would just echo all of that as we continue to build and expand the parish itself. We're looking to potentially build out an exciting new next generation wing where we're going to be offering programs for kids from 6 months through grade 12. And I think there's a lot more we can learn about effectively doing children's and student ministry. We're talking about expanding our mass schedule once again and maybe trying some different things. So there's a lot on this side of the aisle as well.
And that's so great, because as you learn all of that, we know what's going to happen. You're going to turn around and you're going to share that with all of these other parishes who are following along on your journey and learning from you. So I'm excited to see how all of this transpires.
Thanks, Melissa.
Well, a question I've got for you just about how can parishes partner with Rebuilt? So let's just say they want to become involved or they want some help. How can they do that? And what advice would you give them as they start this journey?
Well, obviously, yeah, our website's the best place. If you found us here at rebuildparish.com and look into the coaching. I mean, that's how we do some other things. Obviously, we help with the weekend observation. So if you just want some feedback and helpful encouragement when it comes to the weekend experience and how to make that better, that's obviously something that's huge and important to us. The other equip courses we have to help, especially with small groups, and get that started, to start wherever, again, is appropriate for you and your parish. But rebuildparish.com has all those. I think, again, my thing is always move forward, right? We have to, my image is the Red Sea, that when the Israelites have the Egyptian army at their back and the Red Sea in front of them, what does God say? He says, move forward, and then he parts the sea. So usually it's when we move that we see God move.
Father Michael, anything to add to that?
I love the image of the Israelites with the Egyptians to their back and the Red Sea in front of them. And I guess sometimes if it's not too prideful, I feel like Moses sort of holding his hands up in the air with his staff and ensuring that sea remained parted, even as so many people are evidencing quite a lot of courage to even step out there.
Absolutely. Well, Father Michael, Tom, thank you so much for being here with us today. We're so grateful that you took your time, and there are so many parishes out there and souls that have been saved that are because of everything that the two of you are trailblazing. So thank you for taking your time, your effort, your learnings, and turning around and sharing them with the world. We're so grateful for you.